Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta. And, you know, to my guest today is Susan Scirocco. We're going to be talking about how to rebuild and recreate your life. And I remember when I was a younger man, I was into playwright, and I took a class with a very well-known playwright from, he was very big in the 1960s and 70s. He'd worked with Ilya Kazan. And he told me that life was a series of reinventions. And I've definitely found that to be true in my own life. So my guest today, Susan Scirocco, is a two-time Emmy-nominated producer, and she has her own story of rebuilding and recreating her life after disaster. And it's just an absolute pleasure to, I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say. Susan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. So, yes, maybe you can share with our listeners first a little bit about your own story and how you came to be interested in this idea of rebuilding your life.
I'm happy to tell that story. It's become the topic of my book. I wrote a book called Rainbows Over Ruins, and it's based on this spiritual journey. It turned into a spiritual journey after we had a landslide come through our house about 10 years ago. You have to call it life altering because there really is nothing that stays the same. It's a kind of an experience that affects you physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And it was one of those crazy days. You go to work in the morning, it's a perfectly normal day, and it starts to rain, and by the time you come home, you find your house filled with mud. No sign that there was any damage. I parked my car, walked in the house, opened the front door to find my dogs on the sofas wagging their tails at me, going, "Hi, Mom!" And everywhere around them was mud. All the way up and down flights of stairs, mud coming in the back wall, down across my hall and into the bathroom, where water was now dripping down through the ceiling into the living room before, but you know, below it. And what had happened, as we finally got to see it, was that the mountain that my house was built up against had let go. And all the rocks and boulders had just come right down on top of the house, and they filled up the ground from the floor all the way to the roof. So you couldn't stay there. You didn't know when it might shift and push the whole house over. But it was standing, and all the utilities worked. It was very surreal. And it took we probably spent a year and a half getting through that portion of our lives, which had to do with, you know, dealing with government, you know, agencies telling us that we had to figure out how to fix this problem, that we were in violation of codes, and that we had to find a new home for our animals because the fences had all been knocked down, and where would they go, and where would we go? Where do you find a new house? It took about 6 weeks to find a rental property, during which time, thank God for friends and associates who are willing to put you up while you camp in one of their rooms, because we lived like we were homeless people for that all that time. And then we had to figure out the financial consequences, which are staggering. You still have to pay your mortgage. You still have to pay your homeowner's insurance, even though there's no home that you can live in. There are liabilities. And so this was just a nightmare mentally. And we didn't know what we were going to do. And by good fortune, the woman that we were staying knew a geologist. And the geologist knew the expert lawyers in this field. And we were able to find someone who came over and looked at it and said he would take our case. And it brought, you know, said, "You're not, it's going to take 2 years. Go find a place to live. Get on with your life, because it's going. It just takes that long to get through the legal system," and that's what we did. And it was a long process, and it was not. You know, it was very. I was frightened probably every day. I had a pit in my stomach. I didn't know what to do.
Sure.
I didn't know. There were no books to check on. There was no information. to help me figure this out. And that's where the first kernel of an idea of writing a book and starting to talk about rebuilding your life began.
One of the things I thought was really interesting is that you talk about a process of inner work that's mm-hmm. necessary for rebuilding. And I'm wondering if you can say a bit about that.
Absolutely. It's we're such an outgoing society that we tend to think in terms of all the outer things we do. We see it, we plan it, we do it, and we get results. And that's all well and good if things are going well. But when you're in the pits and your emotional state is scattered and you're so stressed out about your situation, often you are frozen. You cannot take any positive action. You are a victim of your own mind at that point in time. And so I found that I needed to go and, I was interested in becoming a coach and helping other people through it. And I began to learn about the way we think and discovered that we are of effectively two minds. We have a conscious mind, which we're all very, very aware of, and we have a subconscious mind. And that subconscious mind is probably our greatest power because it has the ability to go out like a giant search engine and find solutions to problems for us. But we have to learn how to relate to it in a usable way. And that's the gist of the inner process, where you begin to find out the activities that will help you to communicate with your subconscious mind. And that's things like meditation and journaling, scripting, which is sort of writing ahead what you want the day to be like, praying rain. I love that phrase. It's one from Chris Cade, who writes about changing your story, your inner story. And you do it by just becoming what it is you want to be. Mind movies, those are kind of popular, where you sort of visualize and you either do it in your own mind or you do it on a computer these days. Quantum jumping, Bert Goldman talks about that. These are all ways to get inside yourself and think ahead and dream and visualize how you'd like your world to be. You're probably in the pits when you're coming out of a disaster. When you have to rebuild, you don't know what you're looking for. You just know you don't want to be where you are. And so this process of dreaming again and visualizing again becomes very, very important. Also developing a new habit system where you eliminate negative head trash. That's a phrase that Noah St. John uses for all of the negative thoughts and excuses we throw up in front of ourselves. So we develop new habits, and we begin to ask new questions. Those questions are, for the most part, where we might normally ask a negative question of, oh, why am I so stupid? Why did I do this way? And suddenly we change that to, why is this such a meaningful action? Why is this going to benefit me so much? And change the whole tenor of what we're telling ourselves on a daily basis. So that's what I mean when I say inner game. And how we use, that begins the process of actually doing the inner work that inspires us to do the outer work later.
And what you're talking about and just your own story is definitely very much in line with the theme of the show, which is about creating change. Because I really do believe that there are times where if you say, it would be nice to be creative, or, if I had time to do that, I'd be creative. But sometimes the only thing we can do is create, because it's like scorched earth, right? I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing mm-hmm. left, and the only thing left to do is create and recreate.
Yes, totally. And it's so, you feel so good when you do it. If you're creating in a meaningful way, you will start to feel positive emotions. You'll start to feel the energy and the joy and the sense of well-being that come from the very experience of creation. And then you apply that to a result or dream that you're trying to achieve. It pulls you right out of the muck and mire in which you find yourself.
At the same time, I obviously don't want to discount the loss and grief that goes along with all of these things. And I know that one of the things you talk about is the importance of having other people as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's the inner game. But I'm wondering if you can talk about also the support aspect of things.
Well, I'll say that I probably would not be anywhere close to where I am today if I had not had the support of other people to get me through this. It started with, we were very active in our church, and they were there for us all the way. Not the people we worked with, not the government agencies, but the people we had a social relationship with in a spirit of community. So that was the first big source of community and personal relationship that helped and supported us. And as we went through, it became people who helped us, who coached us, people who would give us information and teach us new ideas that we didn't have before, or who are willing to spend time with us as then us being my husband and I, as we, you know, because we had so much to learn in order to achieve anything. And as I began to get further and further into this, I discovered that it's really, these people are, they're such a significant part of our life that we can go from the point of being, just looking for someone to hang out with and to talk through our problems and to get the emotional support. And then gradually they give us something that's more meaningful and has a longer term activity of helping us think through the problem itself. And then they begin to help us with the element of being what's called a loving mirror, someone who will love us in spite of the mistakes we make and who will support us in spite of all the dumb things that we may do along the way. And there's also this other component, which is a more spiritual component, which is that we are connected. Our subconscious mind, which quantum physicists have now determined that there is something, call it whatever you will, that remains after all other things are removed. And that is, now they call it quantum consciousness. And our own subconscious mind is connected to that consciousness. And so it gives us an opportunity through meditation and through our connection to subconscious mind to tap into this field of all possibilities and to receive guidance back. And that's probably one of the more, you know, the end game of all kinds of support with others. So we have a whole, you know, it's a smorgasbord of opportunity to find people to support us and to help us get through this. You have to do it on your own, but you do not have to do it alone. That's pretty much what.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very inspiring. And actually, the takeaway in there that you also that stuck out for me as you said that is, of course, that the myth is, or the lie is really, that anything is actually stable, quote unquote, right?
That's right.
In fact, how to recreate your life? Well, we're actually recreating our lives constantly, whether we know it or not.
We are, and that becomes the dream. I think that we never give up. We never stop. It's just about the time you've created it, you're already envisioning the next greatest level of what it's going to be.
My clinical mentor has a saying that she says, change happens with or without us. And I've always liked that, you know, that we can participate or we can go with
the
landslide.
That's right. And that's exactly what happens. If you don't participate, you do not know how it will show up in your life, because it needs to happen. There's a quote that I use. I take it from Thomas Troward's work, that my mind is a center of divine operation, ever seeking growth, expansion, and the creation of something entirely new, proceeding in an orderly fashion out of that which has gone before. And you can't stop it. It's going to keep expanding. Take the ride. Enjoy it.
Beautiful. You also, I wanted to also talk a little bit about the other thing that you talk about is asking better questions. And
yes,
being mindful of the questions we ask ourselves. And mm-hmm. I think this is really fascinating and important. So I'm going to ask you to say a bit about, could you say a bit about what you mean by sort of asking better questions?
Yes. Well, better questions. If you look at current brain research, you will see that the current belief is that the default position of the mind is to go to the negative. So that in any situation, the first response you have will be a negative response and a negative question. So you will ask, why can't I do that? Or you know, that's probably not the way to phrase it. But you will go to the, I can't do this. Why am I unable? Why am I too stupid? Why don't I know enough? Why don't I know the wrong people? It's a series of questions that beat us into the ground. But with a little effort to learn how to do it, you can flip those questions and take control of your mind and begin to ask better questions by asking positive questions. The subconscious mind doesn't care. It will answer either kind of question, but it answers in kind. So if you ask a negative question, you get answers that support a negative result. So if you ask positive questions, you get positive results. And that most significantly becomes what Noah St. John talks about in his work, which is on the book of affirmations. You probably have heard of affirmations. It's a standard in the industry as we make a positive statement. But not everybody likes positive statements. They start to think they're lying to themselves. That, you know, they're telling something that isn't true when they make that statement. And when you use an affirmation, you're asking a question. And instead of reacting negatively, the subconscious mind goes out to find out, why are you such a loving person? Why are you so happy? And brings back those kind of positive responses that help you build and move forward and really moves quickly once you get the hang of it. I use them. That was a turning point for me. I went through a very, very, I had a negative tailspin that set in for a while, and I wound up being terribly in debt and wasn't working and had no way to pay the debts. And the phone calls were coming in. It was a dreadful situation. And I happened to discover affirmations. And once I started to use them, everything started to turn around very, very quickly. I wound up, at first it was just feeling better. And then it was little dribs of money would start to come into me. And then those dribs became more of a stream, and opportunities began to appear. And within 3 months of beginning to use affirmations, I had found myself here where I am now, which is a very lovely show for Hallmark Channel. And it's a kind of a show that is very uplifting to everyone. And within 6 months, I was in the position I'm in now as the executive in charge of production. So it really did make a substantial difference just to ask better questions.
Yeah, it's very... I think there's a great takeaway in there, because it is very tempting when something really horrible happens in our lives or something very painful happens to ask questions like, why me? You know, why am I being punished? What's the next awful thing that'll happen? And like you said, that will, of course, bring more, you know, tends to lead to more things that we don't want. You know, I wonder what bad thing is going to happen today, right?
You wake up and that's exactly the kind of thing that starts to happen. You're just looking for trouble. Yeah. And what you put your attention on is what comes to you. So you're attracting, and I mean, it's law of attraction at its most basic. You're attracting that which you don't want when you're dwelling on the negative about it.
So I think that's beautiful, really, the affirmations. That is, I really love that. The other thing I wanted to make sure is I did want to talk a little bit about your book. And, you know, I know it's the book is more than just your story, right? It's also you weave in principles. I guess let me put that as a question. Is the book just about your story, or is there a larger lesson as well to the book?
There is a larger lesson. The story is the framework within which all of the spiritual journey takes place. And the spiritual journey is wound into the trainings of so many authors and mentors across the years. It goes back to, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at my vision board as I talk to you, and I see Roberto Assagioli on the wall, and Rudolf Steiner, and David Hawkins, and Robert Gerard, and I think of Bob Proctor, and Noah St. John for sure, and I have, you know, it's just one person after another who helped me to become who I am today. And they're all wound into this tale, and they had their moment of importance during the story that unfolded. And so their works are entwined in my own.
And what do you most hope, you know, when you wrote this book, did you have a sense of what you really, like, what was the, sort of the best case of what you wanted to see come from this book being out in the world?
Well, I have a dream. Yeah.
I love it.
The dream is so much grander than I could, you know, than I thought I would ever be able to see possible. But it does have to do with getting the message out to an ever vaster audience that this is possible, that you can learn how to use your mind in a more positive way so that you can improve your life and you don't have to be a victim all the time. And I can do that with one person, or I can do it in a medium that reaches out to millions of people, such as television. And in my greatest vision, it is a center that is available to small groups like retreat centers or corporate events where people have charrettes and talk through and dream of new centers. You know, that's how they built places like Disneyland, through a charrette of people who would be involved in a project like that, and to write and produce content, more and more content, and not just my own, but that of other people as well, because it's a very important message. And probably the most basic of it is that 95% of the world does not even know what their dream is or what their purpose is. They just, what's the phrase they use? They live lives of quiet desperation.
That's funny. That's the second time today that has come up. That's so weird. I never even think about that statement, but it's funny that that's come up twice today.
Meaning in there somewhere.
As you talk about your story, you know, I think of, I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey, but
sure, the mythology.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think of the avalanche as kind of like the call to adventure in your life, and how devastation, even if it's painful, or, and it doesn't have to be an avalanche, it could be in ways big or small, that it really can be a call to adventure for us in our lives.
It's, I'm glad you use the word adventure, because it certainly doesn't feel like that when you're going through it. But when you are a little bit further along the path and you've got a little bit of traction, what it does for sure open up is opportunity. Every crisis holds within it an opportunity. And whatever whatever makes you happy, the idea is if it's an adventure and it brings you joy and it brings you a sense of well-being and it opens up all those creative juices that you talk about for creating change, it's that comes out of being willing to look at the crisis or look at the disaster that happened to you in your life and find out what the gem is. What's the pearl that's going to yield you such a great treasure when it's all done?
I want to make sure as well, we have a few minutes remaining, if you could also tell people about your podcast, because I know you have a book, but
yes,
you also have a podcast.
Yes, I do. It's called Rebuilding Your Life, Moving from Disaster to Prosperity, and it is available on iTunes and on Stitcher, not to forget Stitcher. and it's really, it's an interesting, it's like taking my book and moving further, which is to say, here's what happens, here you find yourself in this position of having just come through a disaster. What do you do now? How do you go on to rebuild your life? And some of it is I interview people who are who've gone through it themselves. They've had hard times, they've survived them, and they've made something else out of them. I talked with Sandra Daly, who has written several books. One of them is Choose Your Universe, and another is Successfully Midair. And she had been in an abusive marital relationship and got out and rebuilt her life. Uma Gerish, who has written books on the grief journey and how within each grief journey, we find a new purpose, because after such a powerful loss, you do find you're not the same person, and you have to find out who that new person is, and that's the joy of finding a new purpose. I've had Noah St. John on already, and to have some fun. I had Kim Douglas, who is, she's one of the guests who appears regularly on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and she talks about things like bliss, because it's really important to have fun, to enjoy this process. It's not all heaviness and darkness when you're, it is in the beginning, but as you begin, you are moving forward, it begins to fill your life with tremendous energy. So
well, Susan, I want to make
that.
Sure that people know how to reach you. So if, you know, I want to, so if they want to check out your book or podcast, is there a way that they can get in contact with you, or what's the best way to find you online?
The best way to find me online would be through my website, which is www.susanshirako.com. And I'll spell that. SusanShirako. And then if your listeners are interested, I have a little gift that I've just prepared for people, and you can reach that at www.giftfromsusan.com.
Susan Shirako, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And remember, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. Till next time, this is Doug Foresta.